Welcome to The Hub, brought to you by the Fish Porn Crew. This is a podcast about fishing and other really important stuff that's not really important. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jeff. Go grab yourself a cold beverage. Sit back and enjoy, because The Hub starts now.
Hey, could I use your guys' phone for a sec?
Is there anything wrong?
I don't feel very good.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is... Please note, the new number is...
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
You are ugly than a bitch, boy. You sick than a bitch, boy. You ugly as fuck. You need to stop with this bullshit. Ah, boy, you ugly than a bitch.
Hey, guys, I am super excited. Ryan just texted me and said whenever he's a no-show, I'm a member of the Fishporn crew. Woohoo! Substitute Fishporn. I just wanted to know, this celebrity vacation that we're planning, I assume for celebrities like me, it's all expenses paid, right? Anyway, if not, we'll just use donations from the church. I was also going to say that I have no idea what kind of fish you guys have up there in Maine, but I am all about some redfish down in Louisiana. So if you've got anything similar to that, I am on my way. Looking forward to some lobster. I bet you guys have a nice big red lobster restaurant up there, because I love the ones in Missouri. All right, Fishporn Crew Chia, signing off.
Ooh, nine people already on.
Nine people?
Yeah, on YouTube. Gary B., what's going on? YouTube goes fast. 10 people already.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Does it send out notifications just like the other ones?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, Tyler? What's up, Nate? what's up, Chalo Wallfly? What's up, Tarpon Tails? Hey, Douglas Outdoors, what's going on? Dallas Tran, what's going on? So, Fish Porn is in. All right, so guys, this is not your usual. What's up, Cameron? This is not the usual live feed. So we got 10, Matt Arroyo. What's going on, Dallas? What's up? So 10 already on 12. All right, so we're ready to rock on. We got double digits on both. So I usually start when double digits. Raleigh Fishing, hey, what's up, brother? This live feed is actually with Fishporn Crew. They're doing a live recording of the podcast. So it's not going to be the usual, thing. I'm just going to be doing, an interview style thing with, Fishporn. So, he's going to be joining an Instagram. You could hear the podcast, later on the Fishporn podcast. Just like you would listen to any podcast. You should follow Fishporn. He's going to be coming in on Instagram. Actually, you know what? I could just invite you because I saw you in here. Second, there you are. Doop. Can I invite you? You're going to have to, I think.
I just sent you a request.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did. There we go. Boink. Go live with Fishporn.
All right, so this is Jeff from the Fishporn crew. Obviously, with the restraints of not being able to have multiple parties, I'm doing this part with Ken. Josh will hopefully chime in later, and we'll talk about stuff before and after.
I'm going to have to turn that down.
Okay.
No, on the on the phone.
Okay. Levels.
Yeah, there you go. Ryan, oh, there you go. See, you got somebody that's a Cross fan right there.
Yeah, that's the point.
These guys are awesome. Yeah. There you go. Sweet.
So here we go. I don't think these technical barriers are too tough tonight. Hey, look at that. Pig Farm's with us.
Pig Farm.
Imagine it's, that.
Is that Dave?
Dave, is that you? Anyways.
All right. Let's see here. All right. So we got... What's up, Bo? All right. So once again, for those of you joining late, I'm here with the Fish Porn crew, and they're doing a podcast. We're going to be recording for the podcast, so it's not going to be your question and answer style that you're normally used to. But you can listen to the podcast later on through the Fish Porn podcast. So after this is over, the interview style thing is over, or podcast is over, I guess I'll probably stick around and do some question and answer things.
Excellent.
But are you ready to rock already, Jeff? Or
what's, I am.
All right.
I'm digging it. And Ken, you know, if anybody does have a great question, I might not pay attention too much, but if anybody has great questions for you,
okay,
please feel free.
Okay, thanks.
Because that's what it's all about.
All right. So, yeah, maybe at the end we could do little question thing for both of us, you know, like maybe or something like that. Question, can you hear a feedback since I'm listening to the thing? Can you hear that through your thing?
Like, I cannot. Are you getting any from me?
Nope. Great.
Excellent. Okay.
All right.
So, Ken, welcome to the Fish Porn podcast. We call it The Hub. That's our main podcast. We do a few of them. But anyways... normally I'd have my partner in crime, Josh, but he's with us in spirit.
So, all right, excellent.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Ken, you're quite the angler, and it's always a treat. Just go ahead and take a compliment.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Take a compliment, sir. You're quite the angler. Obviously, a lot of people know about your YouTube channel and your Facebook feeds and your Instagram feeds.
Right.
A lot of times we'll see you tying up some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'll see you floating down the Watauga on a nice wintry looking day.
Yeah.
What is going on with Wish for Fish? Can you give the Fish Porn listeners who don't know about you a little background on Wish for Fish?
Okay, well, it all started actually on accident. I was living in Minnesota at the time, and I was fishing on a lake. And if it wasn't for this lady that was jogging and happened to see me catching this muskie, Wish for Fish wouldn't even exist, really. At least not to what it is today. Basically, you know, she was jogging, and I was fighting this huge muskie, and she was like, oh my goodness, that's like the biggest fish I've ever seen. I didn't even know that was in here. She was talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And she was like, do you want me to record that or something? And so I was like, yeah. So I gave her my iPhone. This was like 2012. So crappy iPhone quality, you know. And she started recording. And I uploaded it on YouTube. And that's pretty much how it started. But so I'm from the days of vlogging. Oh, sorry, I'm blogging, actually. And, you know, so I was used to doing blogs, you know, which kind of dates my age a little bit. But this was pre-YouTube and pre-social media, you know, and when you had to look up for information, you were like usually reading blogs. And I kind of found it very similar to that, basically. And the funny thing is now there is a word for it, which is vlogging, you know, and people were asking me questions like, hey, what were you using? What's some techniques that you're doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I kind of found that very interesting. I was like, it's kind of like blogging, but I'm doing it with videos. So, which is kind of funny that now that they have actual vloggers out there, and that's basically what it's kind of evolved into a little bit. But like I said, if it wasn't for that lady that initially just grabbed my phone and started recording, I wouldn't even started this whole thing. Basically, I just kind of looked at other fishing videos out there on YouTube, and you know, most of it is like some dude with the same thing, holding his phone and recording, and it's like one shot. And you know, I was like, you know, maybe I should like edit this thing. And it just kind of evolved from there. And I just kept going and started editing more footage and started going to more places and started just really enjoying helping other people out, you know. And if it wasn't, you know, at the beginning, it was all about the 14-year-old kid that would message me and say, hey, man, I just watched your video. And I caught my first trout, or I caught my personal best. And till this day, that's kind of what drives the whole thing. You know, it's obviously I'm not doing YouTube for the money, but you know, it's not much in it for fly fishing. You know, maybe if I was getting millions of views doing something really stupid, but you know, that's not how the case is. But it's, you know, it's that it's the passion of I really enjoy your videos and I get a lot out of it. Or like I said, I caught my personal best, or I caught my first fish, and that's what really does it for me.
I think that's great. And I was going to ask you later, but it ties into our common bond is that we're both involved with Pig Farm, and Pig Farm really is all about getting people outdoors and getting people into fishing.
Right.
And that is a great segue to talk about Pig Farm. And,
yeah, that's exactly why I love to be involved with Pig Farm. It goes exactly with what I like to do. It's thinking outside the box. You know, it's getting average people into the sport, you know, and it's not all about, you know, having the best having the best tire or whatever. It's having this new person that's never tied before and possibly getting them into the sport and bringing them into the community and being like, hey, you know, hey, the fly fishing community is not as, I guess, stereotyped as what I thought it was. And that goes for me too, you know, and I must say I was a gear fisherman my entire life. I kind of like frowned upon the fly fishing. You know, I was like, oh, that's an old man's sport. That's a rich dude's sport. You know, it's like, and I kind of had to be pushed into fly fishing a little bit. So, and then once I got into it, you know, I totally realized all those stereotypes that I had about it were completely thrown out the window. Obviously, you do have those older folks that do bring the sport down, I guess you could say, in a way of, you know, it's like, oh, that's not a fly, or, you know, I only dry fly, or, you know, just people that always crap on, you know, and hate on, I guess, modern day fly fishermen. But, you know, it's that's kind of why I enjoy Pig Farm. I enjoy the platform of YouTube. It gets people that never was really, you know, like back in the day, you had to know somebody that was a fly fisherman, or you had to read a book. Have kids read a book now. Yeah, imagine that, you know. But now it's accessible to the masses where, you know, kids could just pick up their phone or pick up their iPad and watch a fly fishing video and get inspired to go out there and be like, hey, this guy's doing it. Why can't I? You know, he's not an old dude. Well, I am old, but, you know, he's not the old stereotype dude that I have in mind. And I think that's what has the appeal for my channel, is that, you know, it does kind of break the mold of what fly fishing is in a lot of people's eyes. So
for sure. You actually, the way I became familiar with what you do is because I believe it was you teamed up with Andrea for
Andrea Larco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was what, back at like St. Patty's Day?
Yep. That's exactly what
and
it was, I think.
I knew about you. And then obviously through the farm, I heard a lot more about you when that went down.
Yeah. 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 That was a great event. It was a perfect place for it. Andrea is fantastic. I really love what she does. She does great work. But also, you know, it was, you know how most iron flies go. It's usually at a bar, and this place was at a distillery. And it was all about, she wanted to do this event because she didn't want it to be big companies. She wanted to be smaller companies and get, like, you know, like I said earlier, get people that involved that maybe don't have the opportunity to get involved by going to one of the bigger shows or, and that kind of thing. So that was like right up my alley and right up, I think, the Ironflies alley. And it was very successful, and I had a lot of fun throwing or hosting the event as well. So it was pretty cool.
They're a blast. You mentioned earlier that you were doing all the big shows. I don't know. Were you in New Jersey for the one?
Oh, yeah. I had a booth.
I didn't see you there. We had a huge iron fly throwdown after Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's because we had our own event.
You had that Icelandic after party.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Viking Hatch. Well, to tell you the truth, that was when I first actually was I was first introduced to the iron fly at Denver.
Okay.
I went to the Denver show. I was like, this is awesome. And so the guys from Iceland and I were like, hey, we need to do something like that in Edison. And we kind of went back on Pig Farm's like Instagram, and we're like, hey, they didn't do Edison last year. And then they didn't have anything promoted for Edison that year. So like a couple weeks before the show, we were like, hey, let's do our own event. Since these guys aren't doing anything, let's do something at Edison.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like a week before, you know, classic pig farm style, a week before the actual show, they like started promoting the thing. We're like, oh, but dude, they're doing the show. You know, they're doing Ironfly. So I contacted, you know, Dave and Jay, and I was like, hey, look, you know, I wasn't trying to step on your toes. You guys didn't promote anything. We thought you weren't doing anything. So, let's team up together is what I proposed, you know, and, just things kind of fell through. You guys had the location already on lockdown and a deposit or something like that. Anyway, it just didn't work out that we could collaborate and do the party together. That was the initial plan, is to do the party together.
And we will next year.
Yeah, sure. That would be incredible. I think that's, well, cause I mean, Dave and I both agreed that would be the best thing, just because why are we trying to separate, you know, the crowd? Why don't we just bring them together? And you know, both of us are doing the same thing, you know? So let's bring it together. And so, like I said, didn't work out. But hey, next year, there's always next year.
There's always next year. We actually, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that. This is all news to me. We knew not too long before the show that we were going to do something. And right. I drove down from Maine, and it's, you know, it's like 5 hours, and I drove through the city, and I got there, and Casey Anderson from Pyramid was actually setting it up.
Yep.
And he and Captain Rob, and I ran into Chris Calabrese, and anyways, we had it all lined up, but it was very quick. And the word was that somebody was doing the Viking party. And Casey Anderson was busy tattooing people during the show. I don't know if you saw him at work.
Of course.
Man, I can't believe I didn't run into you. But anyways, I ran around like a madman handing out our little flyer.
Right.
And trying to convince people that they shouldn't go to your party.
See, that's why we wanted to join forces, because we're like, why are we trying to separate the crowd when we could just work together? But, you know.
Well, I'm sorry that we stole about 55 people from you.
Yeah.
Rumor has it that the guys from Rep Your Water had some kind of foot race. It sounds like there were crazy times had by all.
Right.
And, like you said, there's always next year, so let's aim for it.
Yeah.
What a great time, though. That was a really cool show. I was thrilled to be able to go and see it. I had been to the one in Marlboro, Mass. The week before, and it was tiny.
Right, yeah. The Edison one is the biggest one. I personally like the Denver one the most, just because a lot more trout fishermen in Denver, you know? A lot younger, a lot more, I guess, hip and down with, my kind of style, you know, especially for my products and stuff. Edison, you're just dealing with a lot of salties and a lot of older Jersey fishermen for striper kind of thing.
Sure.
Or as you were saying yesterday, strippers.
It's a difference of one letter.
One letter.
That's the only difference.
I'll fish for both. It doesn't matter to me.
That's right.
I really enjoyed Denver. And to tell you the truth, Atlanta was great too. You know, Atlanta's a lot of young money as well. It's kind of had that Denver feel a little bit. I can't wait to go back to Denver. I already booked my Denver and Edison and Atlanta show this year. Nice. I might do Pleasanton as well. But.
All right. I guess while we're on that topic, did you meet anybody at the show that really just impressed you? You know, was there anybody that you had to go and chat with at the shows?
I mean, I pretty much, you know the most of the people that from the shows, you know, because I did the shows last year as well.
Okay.
Not so much Edison, but like, for instance, in Denver, that's when I met Jay. You know, I met Jay in Denver. When I was in Atlanta, that's how I met Meredith McCord, and that's how we collaborated with this Iceland trip. You know, so like these shows are very important, you know, to the industry, not only because some of these fans could meet some of their idols. I mean, for instance, you know, rest in peace, Lefty Cray, you know, would be at these shows, you know, and people would get to meet their, I guess, fly fishing idols. And like when I went to my first show, that was when I met Tom Rosenbauer, you know, and, you know, it's kind of funny how I was like, hey, I listened to your podcast and, you know, I just want to thank you for your podcast, you know, and I got to meet Pete Kutzer. And, you know, before that, it was like watching him cast on YouTube, you know, kind of thing. So, and then it's funny because like as I evolved and as well as going to more shows, you know, I would interview Tom or Pete. And like, you know, if you watch, I can't remember which one it is, we have Pete doing a demonstration with the H3 where he was casting in between my hand, which is pretty awesome. He nailed it like the third cast. And like amazing caster he is, but that's awesome. You know, it's fun to like work with these guys indirectly, you know, and stuff. So and build relationships from these shows. So I think that it's a fantastic opportunity to grow not only your brand, but to grow as even a fan, you know, like to, I guess, can meet some of these personalities. So it's not just a name or it's not just a face or Instagram tag, you know, I mean, these people are just everyday people, you know, and it's great to just finally get to meet them.
So. I agree. Larry Luttrell said on his Taylor Trash show, he said, I think it was him. It was him or one of his co-hosts said that we should all, when we go to these things, we should wear name tags that have our Instagram handles. I mean, think about it. You know, you probably pass people that you communicate with on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
They have.
As a matter of fact, I had a soccer jersey that had Wish and then the number 4 Fish as the name on the jersey.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was what I was walking around in for one of the days. But yeah, it's That's a good thing. I might make a shirt. Maybe that'd be a good thing to make. It's a shirt that has my Instagram handle on it. But
I love it. All right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned the obvious the draw. Why everybody wants to hear from you on the fish porn show. You just had this crazy trip.
Yeah. Well, do you crazy wanna... is not the word, man. I mean, so I went last year for 10 days. And it was incredible. You know, I did go a little bit later in the season. It was, you know, early June, late May. But this year we wanted to fish for the Ice Age Browns, and that's May is usually prime time. And we got absolutely hammered with the weather. The first day it was fantastic. Like we all landed fish. We were like, this is going to be awesome. And then like 3 days in a row, every single one of us got skunked. Ooh. And it was like the weather was, we're talking like 20 to 40 mile per hour winds.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the low 30 temperature, you had wind, rain, sleet, hail, snow. You know, it was just unbelievable. And like, it was funny because so when I was in Iceland last year, I was definitely fishing in the worst weather that I've ever fished in, you know, and I was like, I can't believe I'm fishing right now. This is the worst weather I've ever fished in. And then this last trip, I was like, okay, I said that last year, but this is actually the worst weather I've ever fished in. And then I ended up saying that like 3 more times. So 4 times. Wow. I was like, and the funny thing is like, we're trying to talk to somebody like that's like maybe 10 feet away. You're like, all you could hear is, you're like, this is the worst weather I've ever fished in. You know, it's like it was just insane, you know. And you could only take it for a little bit, and your fingertips were frozen. You know, you had the crab claw going on where you're trying to like strip line, and it would slip out of your hands, and it was just it's insane, you know. And we're trying to film, and we couldn't film. I broke a camera trying to film, you know, and it's just like one disaster after another. Yeah, so like, you know, three out of four of us got skunked for 3 days in a row. One of us got skunked for 5 days in a row. So, wow. You know, yeah. But we did achieve the goals that we went to go do. You know, the goal was to film, you know, three individuals that basically what the appeal is to me about fly fishing is the diversity of the sport nowadays. You know, it's definitely diversified much greater than it has been recently. I see a lot more kids. I see a lot more women. I see a lot more ethnic groups and backgrounds and stuff. And, you know, and it's fantastic. And like, what more diverse can you get than me, Meredith McCord from Texas, and Mark Crapo from Idaho? You know, it's like a, you got a ginger Mormon, an Asian dude, and a Texas girl, you know? So it was like a very diverse group, and that's what it was all about. But, you know, and having fun, it was all for this. We're all there with the same passion, you know? And even so, we did get hammered by the elements and weren't having a hard time catching fish. We still had fun. So that's what it was all about, you know? So we still captured that. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get the footage that we wanted to produce the film. But you know, I'm still going through the footage and we'll see what I could come up with. But, that was, really tough, but the Spain part of my trip was unbelievable. I had no idea that Spain was as good as it was going to be. I had no idea that Spain had monster trout. You know, and I was really surprised. Like, you know, he was like, we were on this tiny creek and he was like, let's use your 8-weight. And I was like, an 8-weight? He was like, I was going to use my 4-weight. He was like, no. Yeah. He was like, they're going to be 10 to 20 pounds in here. And I was like, yeah, right. And like, and it was crazy because he was like, you know, fish this little seam right here. And I'm talking about a seam that I would have completely walked right over, you know, like I would have walked right over and fished the pool because that's where I would have thought they were. And he was like, just strip it right through that seam right there in this riffle. And I was like, that shallow riffle. And then sure enough, wham, I hooked up on a 10 pound brown, like 25 inch, 10 pound brown.
Is that one you have the photo of that posted?
Yeah. That was like in the most shallow riffle you've ever seen. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and that's when I was like, okay, maybe I'm glad that I didn't use my 4-weight.
Yeah, sure. Just real quick, Ken, I want to tell the Fish Porn crew listeners, follow Ken on Instagram. It's at Wish for Fish. Pretty simple. Wish the number 4 fish. Amazing photos came out of there. I just had to plug that, Ken, because and you guys took over the Able feed, if I recall.
Right. Yeah. We did an Instagram takeover for Fooling Mill, as well as Able, which was awesome. You know, like we did it just for the couple of days that we were there. We did it for a couple of days for Fooling Mill and a couple of days for Able as well. But, nice. You know, they were really good to us. I mean, Able sponsors me. So, you know, I was like, hey, I'm going to be fishing your stuff. Meredith is with you already, so why don't we just do an Instagram takeover and we can start posting. Yeah, I was like, well, let's just start posting stuff on your Instagram, you know?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and Fooling Mill, we were using all of their flies, so I was like, hey, since we're using your flies, let's do a takeover for your thing. And we are also, this is kind of cool, because we were also testing out their new fluorocarbon tippet.
Really?
Which is not even out yet in the United States, and it will be out in January of 2019 in America. So we were testing it out for them, and so, you know, I was like, hey, look, if we're going to be doing this kind of stuff, let's, you know, hook up your Instagram as well. So, I mean, it was fun. Great experience for those guys, because that was like both of their – which was weird to me. It was both of their first time having an Instagram takeover. So, you know, everybody was pleased with it. So that's a good thing.
Nice. So did Meredith and Mark join you in Spain, or is that just you?
No. So Meredith ended up staying in Iceland. I went to Spain by myself for 4 days and then actually came back to Iceland and fished for 2 more days and then came home. So, but yeah, we all went our separate ways after the week we were together.
All right. So you guys, from what I can tell, you guys had some kind of van type, like a sprinter van.
That was awesome. Live in it? We did not live. I mean, we kind of lived in it, but we didn't sleep in it. Those guys were really great. Rent.is gave us this van for us to to go around in. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is the best way to travel Iceland. And I'm not just saying that because of the plug or whatever, but basically, if you try to – Iceland's expensive.
I've heard that.
It is crazy expensive. And if you try to travel plus, you know, find a place every night, you know, it gets super pricey. You know what I mean? And this thing could comfortably sleep, you know, four people. Well, okay, maybe comfortably three people, but it could sleep four people, enough for four spaces with sleeping bags or whatever. And so actually tell you the truth, we could probably sleep five people because that one seat flipped down. And it was awesome, you know. Like if we had to travel like that, I think that would have been the way to go just for price wise, you know what I mean? And it was convenient because like we staged everything in there. We could put all of our fishing gear in there, you know. Obviously travel around with that van was easy. But yeah, it was awesome stuff, man. It was awesome. It was definitely the way to go. And we ended up kind of destroying the van, unfortunately. A
little bit. You guys almost got it stuck, it looks like.
Oh yeah, that was one. But no, we, like the first day we were there, somebody that was driving it decided to go really fast down a bumpy road and just took the side mirror out. So we were basically without a side mirror for the entire trip.
Whoops.
And of course I had to be the one to return the van. And they were like, what happened to the side mirror? I was like,
just fell off.
Yeah, it got taken out the first day. Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. So you said it's expensive there for the average person that wants to go to Iceland. What are they looking at? Is it the fees? Is it just cost of living? Is licensing expensive?
Well, so for those that don't know, Iceland is and this is one thing, you know, it's funny because I hear a lot of people bitch about private public battle about water and stuff. And I think Americans don't realize how good they have it as far as public water is concerned. For instance, England or a lot of these places in the UK and Iceland in particular, everything is private.
Okay. Is it a beat system there?
So yes and no. Everything is private. They do have like 50 or so bodies of water that you could get a public license for like $50. But if you get that public license, you're not going to be fishing the places where you're seeing people catch these fish. You know what I mean? So if you're wanting to fish water where you're catching monster fish, you're going to have to basically go through a guide service. Okay. Every piece of body of water is owned by a farmer, usually, or a coalition of farmers, because especially if the water goes through several people's farms, and they end up selling the rights to guide services.
Okay.
So you basically have to go through a guide service and get, you know, basically a license through them to fish the water. That's number one. So, you know, we were going through Fish Partner. They have some great beats and beats from all over, you know, from the highlands to the lake, to even up north, which we didn't go, but, that's number one. Number two, if you're going with a guide service, obviously you could get the full package where, you know, they're getting you places to stay, you know, which is a little bit more economical, I think. But if you were trying to go and do it all yourself, forget about it. You know, it would cost you an arm and leg. You'd be getting, you know, each place would be moderately expensive. Most of the things that's crazy expensive is like the food, just everyday gasoline, you know, like the gas to fill up that thing was like $150.
Wow. And it's by the liter. So, and what do they do, euros there?
No, it's a thing called krona.
Kroner.
Basically it's like they don't use a decimal system. So like 1,000 krona is like $10. You know, it's obviously give or take some pennies, but sure. That's kind of like how you could easily guesstimate it. And, but yeah, it was like, $150. Put it this way, a fifth of Johnny Walker Black was $90.
Wow.
Yeah. So, a good tip for you guys, buy everything at the airport, the duty free. because that's as cheap as you're going to get everything. And luckily at the duty free place, they sell everything, you know, and that's the tip that I could give you guys is, like, for instance, I bought a SIM card there for like $40, you know, and that was like a 10 gig SIM card with free text and calls. So I only went through 5 gigs through, and that was over, you know, 2 week period. I was even able to use that in Spain.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So, that's the way to go with a telephone. I would just buy the SIM card. I was able to get like the plug adapters at the duty free. You're able to get alcohol. You could get pretty much everything you need at the duty free. So I would do that. And, nice. What we also did to save some money is we hit up Costco.
And, there's a Costco in
Reykjavik? Yeah, there's a Costco. So we hit up Costco and bought a ridiculous amount of big box food, and you know, and that saved us some pennies. And what we did is another way to save some bucks is some of these guide services offer self-catering. Like, you know, we're not there. Well, we weren't there this specific time to, like, you know, wine and dine. We're there to fish, you know what I mean? So we didn't really care about those kind of things. So we were just like, we were self-catered. We were self-guided, you know, which is a much cheaper experience, you know, for the average person. If you're getting guided every day, if you're getting catered every day, it's going to be much more expensive than obviously providing your own food and not without a guide, you know, so. That kind of trip isn't for everyone, you know what I mean? So some people need a guide or want a guide, you know, and some people want to get catered, but, you know, but, we were there to fish, man. So we just, ate, you know, PB&J and hot dogs and called it a day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good for you guys. That was fun to follow your adventures through social media, and it's really cool to hear it and to hear some of the little details that normally wouldn't come out. So that's great. Best part, was it Iceland or Spain? What can you do that? Can you, I'm putting you on the spot, Ken.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, because of the weather and the elements and stuff like that, I'd have to say, you know, Spain. You know, I went from freezing my butt off and like not being able to cast, let alone like hold my rod properly, to like t-shirt weather and getting a suntan, you know what I mean? So it was like, that was a no brainer. Plus I went from getting skunked catching hogs, you know? So
yeah, that's an easy one then.
Right. But, look, you know, the thing is though, when I was in Spain, I was by myself, you know, and when I was in Iceland, I was with a crew. So, did I have a better time in Iceland, even so I wasn't catching fish? And yes, I did, you know, and that's what the experience of fly fishing is all about, in my opinion as well. It's all about the experience, you know what I mean? Catching fish is just a bonus, you know, a big bonus, but you know, it's about the experience, you know, it's about the camaraderie that you have, and it's about the fun that we had. I mean, we got to, well, I kind of forced them to have like a crazy food night, which we called it the crazy meat night. because like we ate rotten shark and sour whale and like, you know, marinated whale and like all this weird Icelandic meat and horse. We ate horse.
Oh, wow.
Which is completely normal.
Yeah. You know? Everywhere but here.
Everywhere but here. Right. You know, and it was great to experience those kind of things with these guys for the first time, you know, like eating horse and whale is common in Japan. And plus I was in Iceland where I've eaten shark. The only thing I haven't eaten was the sour whale, which was,
yeah, that good. Huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, to tell you the truth, I have a pretty strong, you know, stomach and palate. So, you know, I wasn't, disgusted by either of these things, but it was just hilarious to see some of these people's reaction when they would you know, like put the stuff in their mouth and immediately like, you know, spit it out kind of things. Yeah, I mean, it's just awesome to experience this kind of stuff with this person. You know, that's like an experience that you'll never forget. You know what I mean?
Sure.
When somebody says like, oh, I heard that fermented shark is the worst ever, they're going to say and remember that specific time and to be a part of that is like a part of the person's history, you know what I mean? So that's what making the experience is all about, I think, as far as fly fishing is concerned. And there was a lot of those first, you know, it was like I said, we were fishing, probably all of us were fishing in the worst elements that we've ever fished in, you know, and will ever fish in. Because we all told ourselves, if we were back home, we wouldn't even be outside right now, you know what I mean? Let alone fishing. It was the fact that we were in Iceland that we were fishing, you know, and so, you know, I have that to share with those guys. And forever, and we, every time we see these people and get together, we're gonna be like, oh my goodness, I remember Iceland, how crazy it was, and you know, how about that shark, you know, and those kind of experiences are what it's all about, I think, you know.
I hear you, man. Yeah. I think as anglers we all have those, and you know, 20 years from now you're not gonna remember that cookie cutter trout, you're gonna remember the story that went with it.
Exactly. That's what it is. Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, you know, I definitely remember some of those trout that I caught in Iceland. But, you know, it's funny because, like, and I say this all the time, you know, it's like you always remember the fish that got away more than the one that you caught. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because it was the experience that you had. Like, I remember detail for detail, like, the one that got away or the one that broke your line or the one that straightened out your hook or whatever, you know, those are the kind of details you're like, I remember this, this, and this about this one that straightened out my hook. But, you know, the one that you end up catching and holding up is like you said, it's just a cookie cutter memory. But yeah, man, it's about those memories that will last a lifetime. That, is what makes an ultimate fishing trip, I think.
I hear you. What's great, Ken, in my experience is I just came back east not too long ago, and I reconnected with people that were there when I started fishing. And we can talk about those things that happened a decade ago. And you know what? We never talk about the fish. We talk about the stuff that went on around the fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just super cool to reconnect with those people and to remember the stories.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, I had written down a list of questions for you, and you covered them all, Ken.
Awesome.
The
awesome.
Only thing I had left was to ask you about your current, your homeland there, where you're at. Are you thinking you're not going to be able to fish for the next 3 months because of all the water, or what?
What, in North Carolina?
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, we have been getting hammered with some rain, but most of the places that I fish are tailwaters, so it's not that big a deal. Yeah, it's not that big a deal, but I mean, you know, after being gone for two and a half weeks, you know, I have to do a little bit of homestay for a little bit for the wifey and son kill me.
Sure.
But you better believe I'll be out in the water soon enough, man, soon enough. I have some plans to go local. I can't go too far since, like I said, I have an extremely Prego wifey right now. So, you know, I can't go too far without being able to come home in any given notice. So I'm going to be trapped around here. But, yeah, definitely I'm going to be getting out there.
Nice.
You know, I personally like getting out there when it's high water, man. That's when the big boys come out and the streamer fishing's good, you know.
You know, it scares a lot of people away. But
yeah, I've caught some of my biggest fish on some of those times, though, you know.
So. I hear you. Many years ago, I was working at a shop called Cutthroat Anglers in Silverthorne, Colorado, and mm-hmm. we had a huge runoff. And I kind of got my start with the whole audio video production. We made a video. The Denver Post wrote in the paper that it was too dangerous to fish because of the water. And we made a video, and I went with some amazing anglers, and we hooked into the big fish
right
in places where they normally wouldn't be.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I guess the thing is, you know, be safe about it. Go with a buddy.
Right.
Go out there. Be smart. Don't do anything dumb, but don't let it stop you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely fished in some dangerous water before. I fished the Green River when it was running 8,000 CFS before, and I was wet wading it. I fished the Davidson when it's normally like, you know, 20 CFS. I was fishing it at 3,000.
Oh, nice.
It was like dangerous, except for like a couple places. But like I said, I caught the biggest fish that I ever caught there. And, I mean, they're fishable, you know? And the good thing about fishing situations like that is like you're usually the only one on the stream. So
it's all yours.
You don't have to like battle somebody for the spot because there's only one spot that you could fish anyway, usually in those kind of situations. But, yeah, I would fish the West Branch of the Delaware at like around 2,000 CFS, where it was a little sketchy, you know. If you went a little too far out, you're definitely getting swept away, kind of thing. So, like you said, it's all about being as safe as possible.
Yeah, don't do anything dumb. Just I encourage you to fish with a friend. It's more fun that way, anyways. So
yeah,
get out there, people. Be careful, but have fun. Go catch some fish. Tell us about it. That's about all I got for you, Ken. Do we have anybody asking questions that are worthy?
Let's see here. There was a bunch of questions going around. you have Bo Zimmerman says, "Woo, fish porn."
All right, thanks, Bo.
Peyton Hale. So when will we see the Wish for Fish group trip, Ken? So actually, Peyton, I will be hosting trips. I'll be hosting trips to Spain next year. I'll be hosting trips to Belize next year. And Iceland as well. So, I mean, the Iceland trip that I was just on was a hosted trip. I just happened to take Meredith and Mark with me on the hosted trip. And then I actually had some friends and clients going on the trip as well. So Bryce is asking, you hitting the salmon fly hatch this year? Ever fished in Montana? Bryce, I am unfortunately missed the salmon fly hatch this year. So that's a no-go. And I've never fished it in Montana, only in Idaho. So
Terra Narcissus, I love it. That's going on right now.
What? Yeah. Right now. But it's pretty much over.
Yeah, like, I've heard that it's hitting parts of Idaho, but Colorado was a couple weeks ago.
Right, yeah. Well, Idaho basically was happening the beginning of this week, was the fire. And that's the thing about the salmon fly hatch with most people don't understand is that, you know, yeah, it does last for a week and change, but you really have a two-day window, and if not one day, where it's like incredible. I was there right at the peak of the salmon fly hatch last year in Idaho. And I crushed it, but like, you know, the people that I was with didn't crush it, you know, and just because they weren't on that specific stretch, you know, that I was on, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's the thing about salmon fly. You could be like 20 yards of incredible hatch and then the next 20 yards could be crickets, you know, and nothing hatching. So it's very spotty. At the beginning, they're gorged on nymphs, so they're not even looking up at that point, you know? And so like after a couple days of them being, out of the water, they finally, you know, start looking up because they're hungry again. But before that, they're like so full on nymphs, they're not even eating the dry. So then when they start eating the dry, they gorge themselves on the dry for the 2 days and then they're full again. So then they're not eating again. So you literally have this like 2 day window where it's just awesome. And, I'm so jealous cause I friends with all the guys from the Henry's Fork Angler and they've been posting up some trophy fish, man. So, I wish I was there for that.
Oh man. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any good hatches in your neck of the woods that you look for?
Not particularly here. I mean, like the sulfur hatch is pretty, I guess, well known in the Tennessee area, the East Tennessee area. But to tell you the truth, this is my first real season here because, like, last year I was gone pretty much the whole time. So I didn't really get to fish this local area. So I don't even really know my local water that well. I just moved down south last January. So I had last year during the summer, but like I said, last year I was pretty much gone to Iceland and to Idaho. I was in Idaho for 2 weeks and then I was in Iceland for 10 days. And so like I kind of was jumping around a bit. this year I'm going to probably be fishing more local water than last year. So I'll be able to probably tell you a little bit more after this year.
But, yeah, that's great. That's, yeah. You know, maybe it's a good thing that you got to stay close to home. You get to see what's going on right around there.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather go out west for sure.
I hear you.
Out west is just, you just can't beat it. You know, like Utah and you have Colorado, Utah and Idaho and Montana and Wyoming is like, you pick any one of those and you could have some incredible fishing, you know?
So. I miss Wyoming on a daily basis.
That's right. You're from Wyoming, right?
I'm from all over, but I just got to say that Wyoming sucks. Don't go there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And if you do, call up my boys at the Reef in Alcova and they'll take care of you.
There you go.
World Class Guides, the Reef Fly Shop. So there's my plug for some friends. So
there you go.
Got to do it every once in a while.
Let's see what we got going on here on Instagram. Let me scroll up and let's see here.
I don't see a whole lot of questions. Andrew says that America should eat horse. Yes, they should. Thanks, Andrew.
Mike Butterfield, what's going on? Thank you. It's good to be back. Matt, what's up? What's their Instagram? Ryan Pitt, Fish Porn's Instagram is it fish.porn?
FSHPRN. You can't have anything that says porn on Instagram.
Oh, right. So what is it? FSHPRN.
So P-R-N. What happened, Ken, is I bought the domain fish.porn because I thought it was fun. And we instantly had to buy a work-friendly version, which is fshprn.com. I know I told you, but for everybody else that's watching, listening, we did that so you can look at work and not get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But also just be careful because, you know, we're not posting up naked pictures of fish, but there might be a few shots of people catching fish here and there. But yeah, that's us, FSHPRN. Ken, you know, I got to tell you, man, we have a hotline for our show and it's much fun. People can call. We have a Google Voice number.
Nice.
So we never answer it. And we get random voicemails from people.
Uh-huh.
It's a blast. You should think about it. You're going to get, you know, 6 hour long messages from people.
I actually have a Google Voice line as well. I don't really give it out because of that reason.
We got one specifically for the show.
Nice.
And it's a blast. You never know. We've had hate mail.
Really?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hey, you know what they say? If you don't have haters, you're just not doing it right.
Yeah,
so.
We had some. I don't know who they were. I tried. Uh-huh. I tried doing the search for the number on the internet, and all I know is that it was from Texas, and somebody hates our guts.
Really?
So,
huh?
Sorry, Texas. We hate you too.
Oh, so speaking of Henry Swork Angler, they're all in here. It seems Scotty O is in here. I don't know if you're still in here. Fly Fishing Wanderer's in here. Fishing Murphy's in here. What's up, Fishing Murphy? Tanner Lawson's in here. What's up, brother? We have four Henry Swork Angler. Sean McKay, make that five Henry Swork Angler crew up in here.
Nice. Thanks for hanging out, guys.
Tanner Lawson, I should be a talk show host. Yeah, nice, Tanner. Thank you very much. Agree. Let's see here. Fish Porn, your mic is so out of sync. Really? That might be you because I see him perfectly fine.
Yeah,
Jacob Lawless, what's up? Yeah.
Magic of the interwebs.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan, Iceland trip was cool. Thank you very much. You know, it was cold. I don't know about cool. It was, it was a little rough. Douglas Hansel, world-class group. Thank you, Ryan. Trout Hunter, sup, man, and the other guy. The other guy is Jeff from Fish Porn.
Hey, guys, I'm Jeff Needham. I am one half of, actually, no, I can't say that anymore. I'm one part of the Fish Porn crew. Josh Pantleo, Ryan Walker, and unfortunately, our friend Sean Seabaugh. We make up the Fish Porn crew. We're a bunch of amateurs. We know very little about fishing. And this is just an excuse to talk every week. And with the limits of going live with only one person, I'm doing it this week, but our show focuses on fishing throughout the country. I am located in Maine. The other core member is located in Missouri. Actually, the other three members are in Missouri.
Okay.
So
so do you do that? Speaking of that, do you do it on a weekly basis? Is that what I'm hearing?
We try.
Oh. Right.
Come on now. You know, yeah. I'm about to embark on a new career myself, and everybody else is gainfully employed. I think I'm the only one without kids. So trying to peg down somebody with two teenage daughters and a proper job is really difficult.
Yeah.
But our history is that Josh and I fished together at Hardley last year. We went to Hardley Strictly Muskie. We were brought together through the magic of Pig Farm Inc.
Right.
We met in Tennessee, and we decided last October that we needed a good reason to shoot the shit every week.
Gotcha. So,
here we go.
Cool. Awesome.
For anybody
man.
That hasn't listened to Fish Porn, find us on the iTunes Store. Yeah, here we go. Go to fish.porn or fshprn.com. Click on the podcast link. You'll find us, and I'm going to be done plugging it.
Yeah, and also follow them on Instagram for those of you guys already on Instagram right here, FSHPRN.
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
we have stuff. If anybody, actually anybody on Instagram, the first person that can chime in, I'll send you a sticker pack if you're interested. I do some.
Did you do the drawing on the stickers?
Yeah, all of them.
Nice. Hey, dude, send me a sticker, man. I'll put it on my car.
Direct message me your address, Ken. Obviously, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Stickers.
Nice.
Man. So we started this this idea that I should do some artwork. And I did this one. If you are a Postfly subscriber...
Nice.
Then you got this in your box last month.
Cool.
That's the kind of stuff that I do. We did a glow-in-the-dark sticker. We did this in collaboration with Meat Market Flies. Cool. Glows-in-the-dark. It's just fun, man. I never claim to be an artist, but you give anybody a tablet and an Apple Pencil, and you can get stuff like this.
Nice. Hey, I love your stuff. I've seen a lot of your stuff on the Ironfly flyers, and they're pretty awesome.
Thanks, man. I did a sneak peek of the magic bus for the Pig Farm crew today.
I saw that. That was pretty awesome, too. Yep.
And I'm going to do more.
Cool.
I have to do more. They're doing a Canadian Rockies tour. It's not just Canadian Rockies. They're doing the Rocky Mountain West tour.
Yep.
So I'm going to sketch it up. And just have some fun. It's just a blast.
Cool.
That's the plug. Everybody listening to the podcast already knows this, so sorry, guys. Well, we like to joke that we have seven listeners, so these seven listeners are so freaking bored with me right now. But,
yeah.
Ken, they are going to be thrilled to hear you, and I am grateful, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, man. By the way, Pig Farm Inc. says... he needs some short bus stickers.
I think we can make that happen. I might do a very limited edition.
Cool.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know if it's Dave. Did we ever figure out if it's Dave?
Yes, he said yes.
It is Dave. Dave, holographic, glow in the dark. What do you think, man? Let me know. Dave, call me. I haven't talked to you in ages.
So epic, he says.
So epic.
Trout Hunter says that Tennessee for the win, and he just followed you, Fish Porn.
Thanks, Trout Hunter. Appreciate it. JD, I know. If we haven't sent you stickers and you don't have any, just direct message me. Anyways, Ken, are you going to keep rolling? Or
I am. So just to give you a heads up, this Instagram only lets you do hours at a time. We should probably end the podcast since we're done with it. And also the questions have stopped. And then I'm actually going to come back on and continue. So you're more than welcome to join if you like. Thank you very much for the podcast interview. It was awesome. I had a great time. And I hope that your fans enjoy it. And I hope that some of my fans also will listen to the podcast. When do you think you're going to bring it out?
I will edit it tonight, tomorrow morning, and it will be up. Unless Josh wants to chime in and talk about it.
So it'll be up like as in what, tomorrow, day of tomorrow? Kind
pronto.
Of thing? Pronto. All right.
As well, so soon there you as go, humanly guys. Possible. Yeah, if you need a link to it, go to pigfarminc.com and there's a link to the podcast on there.
There you go.
Great. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Ken, if we get cut off, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Definitely.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, sure thing, man.
If you can just throw it out real quick, tell my normal listeners how to reach you, how to listen to you and watch you.
You can watch me on YouTube at YouTube/ Wish Number 4 Fish. So Wish for Fish. That's pretty much I have everything Wish for Fish. You could see me on Facebook at Wish for Fish, on Instagram at Wish for Fish. The only thing I don't have is Twitter because those bastards don't want to give it up to me. So Twitter is Wish for Fish TV. But so just hit me up in any one of those platforms. You can message me, direct message me. I'm all about answering any questions or anybody that makes comment. I always answer. So you could hit me up on any one of those platforms.
Sweet. At your site, wishforfish.com, you have some great stuff for sale. I've seen that. I don't know what you call it. It's like the
mosaic brown.
That's the one. Everybody wants it. Everybody needs it.
Yeah.
Go check it out, everybody.
All right, sweet, man.
Ken, appreciate you're the man. It. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man.
We'll
thanks
talk
a lot.
To you soon.
All right, later,
thank
man.
You, sir.
Hey, it's Josh here. I want to tell you about Woodard Rods. They are great casting and handling rods that won't break the bank. I love my Woodard Rods, and I know you will too, so check them out at WoodardRodCo.com and experience your next river with a Woodard.
Next segment, we really lucked out with our friend and big supporter of the show, Ben Woodard, was able to hang out with our friend John Holston for a while. And what follows is just a bit of the conversation they had. Hopefully we're going to be hearing more. It's great when we can get audio from others. So Ben, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. John, thanks for chatting with Ben. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you guys in the near future.
For anything in my life that is not good, my relationship with the environment, that's my church. It's our church. It's not my church. It's our church, as anglers, you know, and that there's enough room for us to define it for ourselves. You know, if you read, you know, media and magazine articles and things like that, it intrigues the imagination when you think about a fly fishing trip, but it really doesn't define, how do I say this eloquently? I think that at the end of the lesson, we define for ourselves what makes us happy. Some guys just want to go out, you know, for a 10-day span of the year, and they want to fish a specific hatch, a specific way, and if they're successful, it made their year. But
and that's what they do. That's all they
do. And so I'm happy for them if they go out there and they do that. Yeah. You know, that's great. That's great. And then, you know, then there's another, I'm going to say a subculture of fly fishing that, like, this is what we do every day. Mm-hmm. And even on the days that we're not on the river, we're monitoring water flows, we're monitoring water temperatures, and we're talking with people that are fishing upriver, downriver, the lake, what's producing, and so
it's the difference between just something you do and your passion.
Yeah. And so I think that what keeps it fresh, especially at the White River, everything changes by the hour.
Yeah.
You know, you can be fishing for fish in at minimum flow, which ranges between like 650 and 750 CFS, into flood stage conditions in a drift boat. You know, if you don't like the water on the White, the North Fork's probably offering you water. And if the North Fork's not offering you the water that you want, the chances are the Little Red is. And if you get a chance to fish a Little Red on 40 megawatts, It's awesome. It's perfect. And so, you know, I think that, like, what really made me appreciate Arkansas was taking the time out west. You know, several years in Pagosa, Southern Colorado, fished all over state, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and that whenever I got back to Arkansas, I was like, we're good. This is a solid fishery. You know, not all days are diamonds. All rivers trend, especially the tailwaters. You know, in the west you have the ice out. Here, you know, it's basically a flood store system. It's a huge, massive, dynamic flood store system from the Beaver Tail Water to Taney Como to Bull Shoals to North Fork to Greer's Ferry.
Yeah.
You know, all to protect agricultural below the plateau.
Absolutely.
Do you see more fly fishing industry moving to Arkansas?
Absolutely. I think it's been, if you go back the last 10 years, and I really believe it started with the articulated streamer. So, you know, Kelly, Gallup, and you think about the iconic articulated fly tires have actually breathed a breath of fresh air into Arkansas, because before the articulated streamer game, in high water, you're drop-shotting a San Juan worm with, you know, 11 to 13 feet, a leader and tippet with a three-eye split shot, and that's all you did.
Just hoping you get lucky.
You know, and that with a five weight, and so when you do hook up with a 30-inch fish, they're gone. You might get one in the boat, you know, things happen. Sometimes the river gives us gifts.
Can you pass me that whiskey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but that's really what I think the point of what I'm trying to say is, that's where the dynamics of these tailwaters become so intriguing. There's always something to learn. There's always some aspect of fish behavior that to be unlocked. I grew up on the East Coast. When we had 25,000, 26,000 CFS, it was blown out, it was chocolate, no one even went near the river. Here, we get in the boat and like, this is optimum conditions, because there's enough water flow to pin these fish to the banks and hydraulic cushions, and once we had a tool to figure out where these fish were hiding, the articulated streamer, then we saw progress. And more important than catching the fish, we saw how dependent these fish are on eating other trout. You know, I mean, really, if you think about it, you think about the number of large brown trout per mile on the White River system from the catch and release of Bull Shoals Dam to, say, Buffalo City. That's the hottest 40 miles.
Yeah.
30 miles.
Yeah.
And then the North Fork and what lies below there.
So you're saying the articulated streamers kind of brought in a new kind of insight into Arkansas fly fishing.
Absolutely.
And then that sprung up.
Yeah. Hundreds, that was the icing on the cake. That's what made this river system approachable by flying anglers, whether it was minimum flow, 26,000 CFS, no matter what the river did, after the articulated streamer arrived, we had a remedy for everything. Yeah. There's nothing this river can't show us where you get a shot at a world-class brown trout.
Yeah.
And I got spoiled here.
We done, you know, figured him out.
Hmm?
We figured him out, man.
Well, I think you get a loose... I wouldn't say figuring them out. They're highly evolved creatures. Genetically, they outmatch us.
Oh, yeah.
Their ability to adjust to whatever a majority of geographical, geological, environmental changes, whether it's weather or temperature change, I mean, pretty resilient, you know? But that's a fascinating thing about this river is, like, we get to see 26,000 CFS in clear water.
Yeah.
You know, if it was muddy water, you don't know what's going on below the subsurface.
Yeah.
You know, but here we get to see it. Obviously, you know, we go through our trends. We get algae blooms and, you know, and things of that nature. But
man, I'll tell you what y'all went through. And when did y'all have the massive floods, the 8 gens?
So starting like 2008, there was another one in like 12, and then 16, and then the one last year.
See,
there's probably another one in between.
Y'all's 2000.
I think that, if I recall, I think there was 58,000 CFS that when all the floodgates were open and generators were on, and they ran 58,000 CFS. Here's how cool Corps of Engineers is. So there's that river community between Wildcat and Cotter, right? We call it the airport hole. When they released 30,000 CFS, and so at that point, like Wildcat's 9, so probably 11 miles, 12 miles downriver, they raised that water into inches of these people's back doorsteps.
Yeah.
You know, all those houses are on the same grade above the river, and 31,000 CFS, there's people that have water in their house. And that's how good. And they hold that back, and they hold it, and they hold it. And, you know, and it just depends on what happens on Beaver and Taney. If they can get rid of that water, I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, I lose sleep over it, man. I'll stay awake for days, especially like last year's flood when, you know, I don't know how much water came through the North Fork of the White combined with coming down, you know, the upper White River Basin through, you know, like I said, Beaver, Taney, and the Bowl. Everything's open. All the floodgates are open. You know, it was Mother's Day, man, and so us living on the upper basin, think it's dramatic. Wait till you get to see what happens below the Ozark Plateau when the Arkansas is flooding too, and the White's flooding, and the Mississippi's high, and man, the amount of water that could potentially store down there is incredible. You know.
I would have liked to see it before they dammed it all up.
I think it was high. It was either dead low or volatile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was dry or it was flood, one or the other.
Yeah. So if you see, you know, so I guess like, you know, was the flood of 33 or something like that, which basically what initiated the Flood Control Act of 37. Have you seen the video from like Kingdom Shoals, which is Bull Shoals now, but underwater, and water coming down the White River Basin? You didn't mess with it.
Yeah.
You know? But that's really the amazing thing is like they've actually harnessed Mother Nature, and there hasn't been a lot of, you know, a lot of success doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but I think that if I had to encapsulate in my experiences as an angler, whether it was Pennsylvania to Florida to Canada to the West, I don't think there's another habitat where you get to learn more about trout behavior than you do on the White, North Fork, Little Red Tailwaters.
All right, thanks Ben and John for that audio. Before we get out of here, let's just say happy birthday to Josh. Hang in there, buddy. Another year in the books. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Until next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.